Connors? Bill Connors, I thought that was you.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for watching.
Hey. Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned! Ryerson! Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High. Ned Ryerson, I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show. Bing! Ned Ryerson got the shingles real bad senior year, almost didn't graduate. Bing! Again! Ned Ryerson, I dated your sister Mary Pat a couple times till you told me not to anymore. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Bing! So did you turn pro with that belly button thing, Ned? Or
no, Phil, I sell insurance.
What a shock.
Are you tired of hearing that clip? Because I know you've heard it before, Stephen Tobolowsky.
You know, I think you are the first of this season that has played that clip for me. So I haven't heard it in 11 months.
Well, yeah, and you will 11 months or 12 months from now. And you know what? It's good every time. You were so good in that scene, and you are so good in so many scenes, but thank you for that. Thank you for that, Stephen. If I say nothing else, thank you for your role in Groundhog Day.
Oh, well, thank you very much, and I think Bill and I had a lot of fun, actually. We shot that. That was the first scene of the first day.
No kidding. Well, and in fact,
first
I think you've told
scene
us.
Scene of the first day. We started at like 6:30 in the morning was my call time. And I was scared as a jackrabbit, and Bill looked, and there were about 700 people from the town ready to watch this scene. And Harold Ramis was setting up, okay, you're going to walk down this. And Bill looked at the crowd and says, you know what these people need? And I go, no, Bill, no, what? He goes, they need Danishes. Come with me. And he grabbed me. Before we started the scene, we went into the bakery. And Bill pulls out this wad of money and sticks it on the table. He says, give me every cupcake, every Danish, every donut you have. And they started piling boxes, and Bill was handing me the boxes. And we walked out. Harold Ramis says, guys, we're going to start shooting the scene. And Bill starts throwing the donuts and the Danishes to the 700, to the crowd. It was like feeding fish to seals, and everybody was screaming and yelling and applauding. And Bill, in that one moment, I looked at it and I go, this is genius. Because most people hate it in a town when a movie comes to shoot there, because the movie takes over the town and everybody hates it. Bill made the whole town our fans. And they were with us, and they were enthusiastic the whole time. So God bless Woodstock for Woodstock, Illinois, for making it happy.
I'll talk more about that and your continually coming back to Woodstock in just a minute. But I wonder if, as that was the first scene shot in the movie, if it helped you and Bill as actors kind of set the tone for this movie. Like, it's going to be a little manic. It's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy. Let's go. Did you get a little vibe like that as well?
Well, we started it, and basically Harold was happy that Bill and I both knew the lines. So he was able to shoot it all in one continuous shot. And so we did it a few ways, and I started out by doing it kind of very much like that. And then I went and pulled Harold aside. I said, listen, you know, I'm playing this kind of broad. You know, is this really going to work? I mean, do you want it this big? And Harold Ramis gave me the lesson of my life, the lesson in comedy for all young comedy people out there. And Harold Ramis says, Stephen, you know, in the old Jewish comedy, there's two comedic characters, the Schlemiel and the Schlamazel. The Schlemiel is somebody who always is spilling soup, and the Schlamazel gets the soup spilled on him. Like, you take a look at Abbott and Costello, all those Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin, all the big comedy groups. You have one Schlemiel, which is Costello, Jerry Lewis, one Schlamazel, you know, the guy who's the straight guy. He says, in this scene, you are the Schlemiel. Bill is the Schlamazel. He has to play it straight. You could do whatever you want, so have fun. So we had the license to kill from Harold Ramis, so that was a blast.
It, of course, didn't appear in the beginning of the movie, though, and it's nice that you guys already had your footing, that the flow was so consistent with what you would shoot later. I don't know how you all do that, but it clicked. Stephen Tobolowsky. I cut you off there, Stephen. I'm going to move on.
No, I was just saying, I think they shot all the TV scenes the next week.
Wow.
So we started off by shooting all the Woodstock stuff at the beginning. Then they went, because they were looking for a good blizzard for Bill to get caught in.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to do some of the Chicago scenes in a blizzard. And then we came back and we shot more Woodstock scenes. You know, there was one difficult thing about the movie, which I don't know if people think about in terms of Groundhog Day, but because the day is repeated over and over again, the weather has to be the same. It has to be the same meteorological day, and because it's the same day for 10,000 years. And, of course, outside Chicago, you're going to have every kind of weather in the world. But because that scene worked, and Harold Ramis said "Frint," it meant that all of the scenes in Groundhog Day, in Woodstock, in town, were going to be the cloudy day, and that's what we had for the entire shoot.
Stephen is going to be at the annual dinner dance Friday the 31st at the Woodstock Moose, the Bachelor Auction. Wow, they still do those. Oh, wait. And the dance scene were filmed there. I don't know that there's going to be a Bachelor Auction on Friday. You're also going to be the official starter of the inaugural Groundhog Day 5K run around Woodstock, past some of the places in the movie. What a good idea, including the B&B and the piano teacher's house. He will be doing a meet and greet and signing books at Read Between the Lines, noon to 1 on Saturday. He'll be at the Movie Memorabilia Open House at the Woodstock Public Library. It's free from 2 to 4 that weekend. He will also, or that day, he will also be at the main event, the Prognostication, on Sunday, February 2nd at 7 a.m. I don't know why you keep coming back to this thing.
Because I'd love to work for free. It's just, you know, there's so many good and powerful memories from that movie. And it isn't often you get to go back to the very place you shot a movie, and the place is the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, what, like 3 years ago that Bill and I went back and shot the Jeep commercial there?
Right, right.
Something like that.
For the Super Bowl.
And I got to tell you, the people at Woodstock, the Jeep people talked to them, and they said, can you redo your storefronts to the exact way they looked back when Bill and I shot the movie, because it had been like 30 years, 25 years, something like that. They went back and they changed their entire town square to look exactly like it was when Bill and I shot the movie. And I can tell you, it kind of broke my heart. It was the sweetest thing in the world. So I love the people of Woodstock. I love going back to Woodstock. I love Rick Belairs, who's my friend there.
Right.
And it is a hoot to go back and kind of relive those days again.
Well, we love the movie, and we love you for that. I wonder, when you all were making the movie, or when you read this script, and it did very well. It was 19... what was the year that the movie was made? 19...
My son was 3, and he had his third birthday, and he's
93.
Like 35 now, yeah.
93. Oh, one of the top grossing movies that year. But I just wanted to read the wiki on this and ask you if you realized it when you read the script. The movie has also had a significant effect on popular culture. The term Groundhog Day, meaning a monotonous, unpleasant, repetitive situation, has become part of the English lexicon. Buddhist, Christian, and Jewish scholars have analyzed the film as a religious allegory. Did you think it was just a movie on the surface about a guy who can't break out of the loop, or did you feel or think about the deeper meaning there?
When we were shooting the first week, Harold Ramis shot a very extensive scene with Bill very extensive scene with Bill. It took up like 2.5 days of shooting, with Bill alone realizing he has no consequences. And at the end of that week, Harold Ramis took a lot of that scene and threw it away. And he said, like, he got with Danny Rubin, the scriptwriter, and says, we have to be very specific about what kind of story we're telling. Are we telling a story of Bill just being crazy? Are we telling a story about the time of our life and how we spend the time of our life? And Harold and Danny got together and started rewriting the entire script. And Bill and I were getting pages literally hot off the press. They had just written them and said, try the scene. And the scene, the whole movie was kind of being cobbled together with this new star in the horizon, is that we are going to try to tell the story of how the human being spends the time of their life. And so I think at that point in time, Groundhog Day could have been a disaster.
Yeah,
but
really.
I think because Harold Ramis and Danny Rubin are so great and Bill is so fantastic, is that it became what it became, which is, I think, quite a beautiful movie.
Yeah, no kidding. It's actually grown in popularity over the years. Everybody loves that movie, certainly in these parts, but it has national appeal as well, and for a whole host of reasons. Okay, Stephen Tobolowsky is going to be at the annual dinner dance Friday the 31st, Woodstock Moose. If you want to find out more, click on woodstockgroundhog.org, woodstockgroundhog.org. Anything else you want to pass along? Congratulations, you are one of the workingest actors out there. Nobody wants this and more. You stay busy, don't you, Stephen?
I have one bit of trivia I can pass out because I just found out yesterday.
Okay.
I am going to be in season 2 of Nobody Wants This. I don't know to what extent, but my agents just got a hold of me and said, Stephen, are you available? And I said, oh, yeah.
Adrian Brody, Kristen Bell, I'm just looking at the cast. Here's the description of that show. An agnostic sex podcaster and a newly single rabbi fall in love, but can their relationships survive their wildly different lives and meddling families? Okay, I'm in. I'll catch you on that. And thanks for coming back to town, Stephen.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for the chat.